You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by Northside Bible Church.
To pause fresh, to acknowledge this privilege that we have here. Come aside for this little while. To be energized from on high in a way that will make us vessels both to give and to receive a blessing. We pray in all of this that you will honor your great Son as you rebuke the evil one, as the Holy Spirit ministers to each heart, that first according to your purpose, and secondly, to that one's need, beginning with me. I want to thank you for this little time together now and ask this blessing, not for our worth, but for Christ Jesus' sake, in whose name we thank you. Amen. I want you to listen very carefully this morning because this is so apropos in your own life every day. Particularly is this true in the time in which we live. It is always true, but judgment begins at the house of God. As our brother here mentioned, that we're going to celebrate our 200th anniversary. And if you could listen all over this world, this nation, to these speeches, they'll tell you how great we are and how much we've accomplished. What a wonderful people we are. How proud we are. You will not hear the prophet of God tell the real story. We are a people who God has shined upon, blessed like no other people on earth, and we have failed miserably. There's only one thing that can help this nation today, and that's God's intervention. The real story of our condition is cutting living words in Paul's last epistle, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 9. That's the real story of our condition. In our lesson today, verse 9, chapter 2 of Philippians, speaks of our Lord being exalted. Not given a name, but the definite article is there. It's unfortunate they didn't put it in English. It's the name. He's been given the name that's above every name. The lowly name, and that is a lowly name, Jesus. It's a name that was so commonplace. It's, you go down in Mexico today, they have some names they give their little boys. And one of them is Jesus. The hierarchy doesn't give them those names. It's the little poor people you find. And that's the way it was in Jesus' day. It was not God that was the altar to this place. It was the God-man. It's a fact that for this time in all history, a man sits as my mediator. It isn't the fact that he isn't God. He is. He's there as my mediator. At the name of Jesus, that lowly name, he's been given the name, the man Christ Jesus. Let that sink into your heart. Because there's a man, there's one God, and there's one mediator between God and man, even the man Christ Jesus. The man Christ Jesus. I know men, and I know no man can sit and stand before God unless he be God. The name he's been given is Yeshua. He's my Lord. And he goes on to tell us that, you see. He says, notice. The name of Jesus, every knee should bow. Things in heaven, things in earth, things under the earth. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Yeshua. It's our Greek word, kurios, meaning Lord. But the thinking goes back to the reverence that God's people had at one time for that name. Did you know that the transcribers of the Hebrew language would not write that name? They substituted another name that was so precious to them. That's why we have the Hebrew word Adonai. But a substitute that was name was so holy. That's the name of Jesus, the exalted, Yeshua, Jehovah Savior. That's what it means. It's that one who, even though he was in the form of God, and thought it not robbery to be equal to God, he made himself of no reputation, took upon himself the form of a servant, being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself even to death, even the death of the cross. It's that one now we're talking about. It's that one that Paul is talking about here. The Holy Spirit has energized him, and he reminds the people at Philippi, and keep in mind, this is the Philippian letter. This was the little assembly. It was closest to the heart of Paul of all his churches. You can't help but see that if you read carefully. They're the only ones that remembered Paul in his dark days to meet his financial needs. Fact of the matter is, he refused to take money from most of the churches, but this little church he did. It's in that context I want you to see what we're talking about today. Paul said, in the past, in my presence, you've always obeyed. I never had any problem with you. Lord knows he had plenty of problems other places. You read the Corinthian letters. Man, he's had them whipped them up, fighting one down and the other all the time. They're just so carnal. But these Philippians, he said, you've always obeyed. There's been no problem. And now that I'm not with you in body, I want you to even more and work out your own salvation. You see, every Christian has problems. They need deliverance. They need to be taken out of problems that they're faced with. He said, I want you to work this out in your life. You can't work out a salvation you don't have, my beloved. Let me say this. Now, he tells them, for their encouragement, notice, it's God who works in you both the will to do his good pleasure. There are many causes that are real good today. God knows they need attending to, and it takes a great sacrifice for God's people sometimes to involve themselves in these things. But I would remind you this, that obedience is better than the sacrifice. Now, we're citizens of a far country. Our citizenship is in heaven. Make no mistake about that. It isn't out here. We're just a pilgrim here. We're ambassadors for Christ. And I'm not fussing with those of you who make sacrifices in these good causes, because they should be done. But I just remind you of this fact. I remember some years back, You remember a lot of you people I got acquainted with during the Wallace campaign. That was a good cause. I remember when he came here, I met with a committee of 8 men the first time he came to Oklahoma. We met at the old Biltmore Hotel. They asked him all kind of political questions. I only asked him one question. I said to him, Brother Wallace, I didn't call him Brother Wallace, I just called him Mr. Wallace, because I didn't know he was my brother then. Anyway, I said to him, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ? That's the only question. It wasn't political. It was political, but he didn't know that. And thank God he did not say, I belong to this church or that church. He said, he stopped. It just kind of stopped him for a minute. He said, you know, I wouldn't be in this race if I didn't know him. And that caused me to really go to work for him. Whether I was wrong in that or not, I don't know. Time will tell. But in any case, around the same time, we had a legislator out here in the state of Oklahoma who came to all the Christian rallies and everything like this. And so we met out there in a committee, and there was a bill coming up, and I never had the first committee of all these politicians were all together talking about this bill and everything. And again, nothing said about Jesus Christ, so I, in my ignorance, I brought up the fact that, well, if we're going to do this bill and get it across, we need the Lord's help. This very legislator. And I said, well, look, we can't have any Bible quoting in this place. I'm ashamed to say I sat there. I should have got up and walked out of that meeting. Sad to say, that particular legislator used to vote very well. That's why we liked him. But when he come down to the nitty-gritty, they weren't interested in the things of God. We voted for it. We went behind. You see, that's what's counting. You have a function, beloved, as a child of God. And that's why judgment must begin at the house of God. Because if we don't obey, all our sacrifice is of no avail whatsoever. It's a waste of effort. And we're called upon to be a testimony, an ambassador. We're like an ambassador to Russia. We need a Christian ambassador to Russia. She said over there to deal with a criminal if we're going to have one there. And every time they meet together, Jesus Christ needs to be brought into that meeting. See? And if we don't become bold this way, beloved, all our efforts, and let me tell you this, I haven't reached my age where I am without observing a few things. The world history is full of good causes. The graveyards are full of them, too. They haven't amounted to a damn bit of good. They've just gone down the drain. See? We have a twofold ministry. And it's God who works in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Don't you forget that if you're a child of God. You're not doing anything. You're not worth a plug nickel in His hand unless you know that He is the one that's doing the work. You're wasting your time. Your sacrifice is in vain. He doesn't need you. I'm reminded when he said, if I was hungry, I wouldn't tell you. The cattle on 1,000 hills belong to me. You see, He doesn't need you. He, in His gracious way, allows you to be His ambassador. Now, the message that we have to say wherever we go, whatever cause we're involved in, is simple. If we're dealing with people who do not know Christ, then the people we're involved with there, we need to let them know that God was in Christ Jesus reconciling the world unto Himself. Now, that's one fact. And then we need to address them with the fact, be ye reconciled. God is reconciled. He's satisfied with what Christ did. Now you turn to that man and say, are you satisfied? Be ye reconciled. That's the message that God has for the lost people. And a lot of God's people have caught that vision, and therefore they become soul winners. And soul winners is a crown. It says, he that wins souls is wise. But that's not the pinnacle. The wisest man who ever was, because he was energized of God, was Solomon. The Bible tells us so. I don't know how God writes that with him, but that's what he said about him. And I believe God. I think Solomon made an ass out of himself. I know he did. In fact, the scriptures tell me that he was the wisest man. So wisdom is not the pinnacle. In fact, the matter is his wives turned him to the heathen gods. You see, even though he was a wise man. And he wrote many wise words. Thank God for that. But he'll be there. But Solomon's going to be on the low of the totem pole. Make no mistake about it. You have another testimony. And remember this. When you deal with God's people in these causes, wherever you go, you don't have to have a cause. You have a cause just to be with him. But if you're in a cause and there's Christian people around you, remind them that God has a message for them too, as well as for the lost. Namely, they're there to make all of God's people see what is the dispensation of the mystery. Oh, boy. Now, that will turn this whole world upside down. If God's people, let me say this. I say this with conviction because I believe it's true. If God's people in America even knew that there was a mystery, we'd have no problems. They don't even know it. They do not know that God has a sacred secret, because that's what the word mystery means in that context. They do not know that. Why? Because the men on these standing behind the platform this morning, 90% of them don't know themselves. And those 10% that do know don't believe it. You see why we're in darkness in America. Although we sit in a place where more knowledge is available than anywhere in the world. Don't you forget your pilgrimage here. Whatever it is, I don't care what you're doing. You have, first and foremost, the thing that God is working out in your life is twofold. That you might be an ambassador, a witness, a testimony to the lost, and the message is simple. And the message to the saved is simple. Of course, again, the sad thing about it is, even God's people that know a little bit about the mystery don't understand it and don't know it themselves, because they've not gotten in and done any real. They've not fulfilled what 2 Timothy says, study to show yourself approved unto God. How many times in 1 week have you sat down and opened up the mystery letters, those great wonderful secrets addressed to you for your private mail? You cried over that. You don't have to cry over it. God don't care about you crying. But most of us, pretty much a figment of your emotions anyway. But to really mean business with God, and you opened up those letters and you say, Lord, I know this. I know that this is a message addressed to me. It's my private mail. I need to understand it. I need to be energized. Open my eyes, so I can tell God's people about this. When you've done that and you go out and you begin to talk to them about the mystery, they say, oh, what are we talking about? I mean, it's very discouraging. I know. Boy, this is evidence of it out here. This little handful of people we got. See? But God isn't looking at that way at all. God's looking at is required. It's all required. It's all is required. You better listen carefully. God is required with Stuart. He been found faithful. That's all. He ain't gonna tell you. He's not gonna say about how many people got baptized last week or joined the church. That isn't. God's not interested in that one iota. Give a hoot about. The fact of the matter is, those people are baptized and they are doing something contrary to what he wants done anyway. If you're good old Baptist or something like that, or Christian church, that may wreck you a little bit, but that's a fact anyhow. It's a waste of your. It don't do any good. You see, when God set aside the nation of Israel, he began a complete new program. Let me put it to you from another angle. In the very council room of God before the foundation of the world, that council was held. And read in Hebrews 11:3 that it's unfortunate the way they've translated it. You missed the point, but this is what it really says. By through faith we understand that the ages were marked off or prepared, if you will, so that the things as they appear historically were not evolved one from the other at all. You won't find the English translator saying that, but that's what it says in the Greek. Every age, every administration of God is a separate creation of God. It is not affected by the other ages at all. It's an individual creation. In the dispensation we live in today, is something that was unheard of, unknown. It didn't come into existence because they had a problem. God created it. The beginning. It's older than time itself. Historically, we're in a parenthesis of the revealed plan of God. But actually, we're not at all. It's the other way around. The revealed plan of God is simply a parenthesis in God's hidden purpose. That's what the facts are. See? We have a message to God's people today that has been it is the most neglected truth in all the Bible. Believe me, that's a fact. We have people who are saved or right when you lost, and praise the Lord, I'm glad they are. I listened to and I rarely listened to him, but I did the other night because I thought I was going to hear a program worthwhile, and all he did was raise money. But occasionally, when I've heard him, he has preached the gospel, and he has our outreach that covers one of the biggest global ministries of all, from down in Louisiana. And what's his name? He's from Baton Rouge. Swaggered, yeah. He does, when he preaches the gospel, he preaches the gospel. Thank God for that. But he's so ignorant, other than that, that he don't know what time it is. But anyway, the thing about it is, I know that there are men who are on fire, have a zeal for that, and that's wonderful because they're wise men. They've missed it because they don't know anything about the mystery at all, see. And we've failed miserably because we haven't told them. I had a Jewish organization, some time back I subscribed to their magazine. They got some good writers. I've been trying to introduce the mystery into that group. I wish I could. They're called Friends of Israel. If you haven't seen their magazine, it's a good magazine. But here, one of God's ancient people who is ministering to the Jew. Well, that's fine. But God's not ministering to the Jew. God's ministering to every man alike. There is no distinction today, beloved. You don't pick out the minority or the majority. You just pick out God's people, wherever they are, to tell them about the mystery. That's all there is. And since so many of God's people who are interested in doing God's work are out winning souls, and they should be, and so few are out talking about the mystery. You see, the balance is clear. It's just like this. And that's why we're in darkness tonight. It really is. If you really want to do God's will today, as a child of God, learn all you can about the mystery. And wherever you go, you warp people to death. You don't leave them alone. You tell them about the mystery. If you run into a man that doesn't know the Lord, of course, you have a plan of salvation you can give him. That's a simple matter. Just remember that it's God. Don't try to rationalize a thing, beloved. Now, let me repeat that, what God says. It's God who works in you. It's not what you're going to do anyway. It's what God who works in you, both to will and to do of His good pleasure. If it's His good pleasure, beloved, it ought to tickle you to death. You see? You see how simple it is? And why God says, except to become like little children. See, it's nothing complicated about that. Now, not only is God doing this, verse 14 tells us we shouldn't murmur. And say, well, I did that, you know, I just didn't work out. I needed to, you know, had to complain. And I know what it means to go. That last year I've been complaining down on my in my chair all the time. And the Lord said, well, you know, son, you weren't very careful about observing some natural laws, and I'm not going to be in respect to persons. You're going to just take it. That's all there is to it. On the other hand, if you do that, I'm going to teach you something. Listen carefully. And I've been listening. Yeah. It's been wonderful at different times. So quit murmuring and bellyaching when things don't go wrong. There's a reason for it. There's no accidents in your life, beloved. If you're His child, you're His child. And He's the God of circumstances. Always remember that. And I used to say, you remember, the roof falls in, that's fine, you need a new roof anyway. You see, it's always this way. God, there's no accidents if you're a child of God. You may play in the street out there, but God is not ignoring the fact that you're out in the street and allowing you to get hit with a car. See, we don't let our kids do that, or do we? We let them do a lot worse than that. But God's watching us over us night and day. He takes care of us. So don't quit murmuring and complaining. That's terrible. I know you get mad sometime and do that. I do quite even now. And why? Because we need to realize that we should be blameless and harmless as sons of God. Do you know who you are? You're not just a servant as Israel was. You are a son of God. You've been placed in that position. He had called you a son of God. You know what that means? You've been exalted. We've been raised and seated together with Christ Jesus in the far above heavens, where Christ now sits in His own right. And you're sons of God. You've been placed there by Him. You sure didn't deserve it. He calls you a son, not a servant. You can, don't misunderstand me. We are servants. But a son can serve too, you know. And I assure you that God is interested in the servant too. But we're reminded that we should blameless and harmless sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked, and brother, this is a crooked and a perverse nation. Boy, that's us. But you notice, you shine. You shine as lights. Oh, boy. I remember when I was in Sunday school, a little child, we sing a song, God wants me to be a sunbeam, you know, to shine for him each day. And how much of a sunbeam are you? See, that's what counts. It's too simple, isn't it? You see, we don't want to be simple. He wants little sunbeams, and we're to shine. And you know, this word epiphany, God's intervention, that's the root of it. Go back to the prayer in the Old Testament when the Hebrews prayed. That's the sixth chapter of Numbers. You might have the last verse in that. And back and read it yourself. The Hebrew people closed their prayers. May the Lord's face shine upon you. You know, what are you talking about? This is what he's talking about. God shining upon you, intervening on your behalf. And he does that when he, notice, for it's he who works in you. And that word work is energy. Ben and I had a sandwich together this week. We talked about that. It's he who energizes in you, both to will and to do his good pleasure, you see. Now, last, as our time is gone, notice, the 16th verse, and we're going to stop. We're holding forth what? The word of life. That's what it's all about. And now, like, you know this word rejoice, it's not a bad translation, but it means to brag or boast. Paul says, he says, you're to hold forth, that I may brag on you. See? In the day of Christ. That I'm not running in vain, neither labored in vain. I hope I can say that to a lot of you one of these days. I want to be able to brag on you. Decision isn't in yet. Will be one day. And I hope when we do meet that Paul can brag on me. I hope, I know the Holy Spirit can brag on Paul because he took the things of Christ. He made them alive. That's what God wants of you. See, it's not brilliance. It's not all these things. It's simplicity. I like that phrase in this intellectual world when you talk about things like this. Oh, it's too simple. It's too simplistic, don't you know? Truth is the most simple thing in the world. And because it is simple, because people want it to be complex, that's why it's so misunderstood. I remember when I wrote a little book on Elijah and his coming. People said, "Oh, it's too complicated." I can, and I'll tell you truthfully, it's not at all. You just don't read. See, it's not a capsule. It's for you to study, to show yourself approved. When a man tells me that my work is complicated, I feel sorry for him because I know he's not really trying to find out. Those of you who know me, I'm not a complicated man. I'm very simple. Well, our time's gone. I think you know, though, what God wants of you. He wants you to work out your own salvation where you are. And I don't care what you do or where you go or how much you sacrifice. If you don't remember that you're a pilgrim here that your citizenship is in the heavens, and you're his ambassador. If you do not bear testimony to the lost, wherever you are, I never search for, and it's in season, out of season, without with rebuke. That's what the scriptures are given for rebuke, reproof, in season, out of season. With long suffering, seasoned with salt, spoken in grace. Everywhere you go, that's what you are. And it's God who energizes you, if you will allow it. If you suppress him, you grieve the Holy Spirit. Father, thank you for this witness and this time. Pray that it will not be in vain, but it will accomplish your purpose. We thank you for attending to that. Thank you in Christ Jesus' name. Amen.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.